Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. We have some breaking news in the last few minutes that I think many of you will be interested in. It looks like the Susan Komen for the Cure Foundation will restore the funding that it cut to Planned Parenthood for breast cancer screenings. This is coming to us from the office of New Jersey Senator Frank Lautenberg. He released a statement that said, in a call with Nancy Brinker, founder and CEO of the Komen Foundation, Senator Lautenberg confirmed that the Komen Foundation will clarify its policy to ensure that only organizations found guilty in a criminal investigation would be ineligible for funding. They had said they were cutting off the funding to Planned Parenthood because the new policy of the Komen Foundation required that cutoff if any group was under investigation. Now they say they're tweaking that policy to ensure that only organizations found or only organizations found guilty in a criminal investigation would be ineligible for funding. Of course, there was a firestorm of reaction under the suspicion that this was a caving to pressure by Komen, pressure by anti-abortion groups. And one of the people who had reacted very strongly was Mayor Bloomberg. Yesterday, Mayor Bloomberg announced that he would make a $250,000 matching gift donation to Planned Parenthood to help make up for the loss of Komen funds. And joining us now is New York City's Deputy Mayor of Government Affairs and Communications, Howard Wolfson, to talk about this and other things. Deputy Mayor, welcome back to WNYC. Hello.
Thanks. Good to be with you.
So this is just a few minutes old news. I gather you did hear about it before we went on the air. What's your reaction?
It appears to be good news. I think we still need to do a little due diligence here in the mayor's office on it. But at first blush, it appears to be good news. And if, in fact, the monies are being restored and Planned Parenthood is going to continue to get funded, that's something that should cheer anyone in this country who cares about women's health.
Do you think the mayor can take some credit for this because his $250,000 matching gift put such high-profile pressure on Komen?
Well, I give credit to everyone who became engaged online across this country around this issue. For those listeners who are on Facebook, on Twitter, you probably know that there was just a firestorm of reaction to Komen's decision to defund Planned Parenthood when it became public a couple of days ago. People immediately began speaking out online, rallying together, organizing. And so the mayor wanted to tap into that energy. And so not only did he say that he would give $250,000, but it was really a matching grant. We wanted to catalyze individuals from around the country to give to Planned Parenthood. So we said we would match up to $250,000. And I think everyone who was involved in this effort, whether you gave a dollar or $10 or $250,000, should feel good about this outcome.
Does the gift stand even if Komen is reversing itself?
Absolutely.
When the mayor said in a statement yesterday, politics have no place in health care, maybe the politics run both ways. Maybe it was politics for Komen to change its policy in the first place, and maybe it's politics again caving to this firestorm of social media criticism, et cetera, as you say, that led it to switch back.
Well, the bottom line really is that Planned Parenthood does outstanding work in the healthcare field, and they were providing essential basic healthcare services for women who were trying to make sure they didn't have breast cancer. That is not the kind of thing that ought to be politicized, and I think Komen made a very, 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 very bad decision to politicize that, to take the funding away. If, in fact, they are restoring the funds, as it appears they are, they've made a good decision to take politics back out and say, let's just look at the science, let's just look at what are good health outcomes, and let's fund those. You know, this mayor, for the last 10 years and before, has been very, very focused on improving health outcomes in this city, in this country, and around the world. We have greater life expectancy growth here in the last 10 years than we have nationwide. It's because of things like the smoking ban. He is somebody who cares deeply about good health and good health outcomes and was proud and happy to contribute to this effort.
Deputy Mayor Howard Wolfson, my guest on WNYC. Let's talk about the mayor's budget proposal, which he laid out yesterday. He proposed a budget of $68.7 billion. That's 2% higher than last year. And here's the mayor announcing some good news.
I'm happy to say it has no tax increases, no layoffs of teachers or uniform workers, and no walking away from our long-term investments.
So unlike last year when the mayor proposed 5,400 teacher layoffs in the initial budget address, he's promising none of that, no uniformed officer layoffs. Why is this budget not as dire as last year's? Is the economy that much better?
The economy's a bit better. We're going to be raising some monies from the sale of taxi medallions. But, you know, New York City has come out of the recession somewhat. We're doing a little bit better than the rest of the country. We're creating jobs or restoring the jobs that we lost at a better clip. You know, the mayor has managed his budgets very prudently over the last 10 years. One of the reasons why we're in better shape is he socked some money away during the good times for the rainy day. And the rainy day is here, and we're going to be using some of that money to plug the gap. We're going to have some taxi money, medallion money from the sales of medallions to plug the gap, and the economy is a little bit better. So, you know, if you are somebody who looks around the country, reads the newspapers, and sees lots of other places, municipalities raising taxes or laying off teachers or firefighters or cops, you can feel good about the fact that here in New York City, we're not doing those things. We're not raising taxes. We're not engaged in draconian layoffs, nor are we engaged in draconian cuts to essential services. This is a pretty good news budget in some obvious difficult economic times.
Let me ask you about those taxi medallion funds. The budget assumes $1 billion in revenue from the sale of 2,000 taxi medallions. This is part of the Hailable livery cabs deal that also allows the sale of more yellow cab medallions. But $1 billion, that's a big assumption to make since the state legislature and the governor have to sign off on this deal, and we don't know yet if they will, correct?
The sale actually comes from the sale of the yellow medallions. The livery cab medallions are actually very, very modestly priced.
Yes. But it's part of that deal. Yeah.
Right, absolutely. Now, look, we have every reason to believe that the legislature and the governor will sign off. I don't believe that they're going to want to get in the way of, A, this kind of revenue to the city, and, B, five borough taxi service for people all over the city. So, you know, I am confident that we will be able to move forward with the sale of the medallions, and confident that we'll be able to ensure that people in the Bronx and Brooklyn and Queens and Staten Island are going to be able to hail cabs in their neighborhoods.
New York City had been doing better than the rest of the country during the height of the recession. Now, according to some statistics, it's doing worse. The national jobs numbers out today reveal that last month the U.S. added almost 250,000 jobs and the unemployment rate dipped to 8.3%. But in New York, the unemployment rate is actually increasing slightly. In December, it was at 9%. How come?
Well, we've actually got back about 75% of the jobs that we have lost. So you're right. We were doing better for some time. But there's obviously more work to be done. I don't think anyone who lives in this country or lives in the city thinks that we are out of the woods. And we've got to continue to try to grow this economy and position ourselves for the 21st century. It's one of the reasons why the mayor is so bullish on the Applied Sciences University that we're going to be coordinating with Cornell and Technion on, because we want to diversify this economy. We want to create the jobs of the next generation, and we've got a strategy and a plan to do that.
Is part of New York's story that the TARP money is wearing off, that the bank bailout was because of Wall Street being here and New York City bailing out, and now that's fading?
Look, I think you see some pressure on the banking industry from a fiscal standpoint. But, you know, this city is not as dependent as it once was on Wall Street. Obviously, it's very important to the city that Wall Street do well, and we want Wall Street to do well. But we have other sectors of our economy that have stepped up to fill some of the gap. 50 million tourists came to the city last year for the first time in the city's history. The tourism industry in the city has exploded in the last 10 years, and that obviously provides an awful lot of tax revenue to the city we didn't previously have, and provides a lot of jobs for people who previously might not otherwise have them.
New York City Deputy Mayor Howard Wolfson. You know, our last guest, journalist Michael Graybell, who wrote a book on the stimulus program, had a number that the stimulus saved 14,000 New York City teacher jobs. Is that the right number?
I don't know if that's the right number, but certainly there was money given to the states, and I think with regard to teachers, two separate rounds to help municipalities afford to not lay off public employees, and that was a good thing. Nobody wants to lay off public employees, and nobody, frankly, has been a greater champion of increasing investments in education than this mayor. I think that whether 14,000 is the right number or there is another number, there's no question that teacher layoffs were avoided thanks to federal assistance.
Here's another clip from yesterday's budget address about pension costs, which the mayor cited as a ticking time bomb.
If all prices track pension costs, we've done the math, a slice of pizza that costs $2 in '02 would cost $12 today, and a single ride on the subway, which cost $1.50 back in '02, would cost $9 today.
So those are staggering numbers. If the pension costs are as out of control as the mayor says, where's the money coming from to make up the costs, billions and billions a year, extra compared to a few years ago, without having to increase taxes or impose major layoffs?
Well, that is a very good question. When Mike Bloomberg came into office, pension costs were roughly a little bit over $1 billion. They're now roughly a little bit over $8 billion. That's an enormous increase. And if you and I were sitting down and trying to plot out a budget, we could probably find a good use for $7 billion in this city on a lot of things that people might have some expectation that government might spend money on. We could also cut taxes with that money in addition to spending it. So the explosion in pension costs is, as the mayor described, a ticking time bomb. Thankfully, we have a very, very good partner with Andrew Cuomo, a good partnership with Andrew Cuomo in Albany, working to defuse that time bomb. The governor has put forward a number of very bold plans that he hopes to have passed in this session that would alleviate some of the pension pressures going forward, both at the state level and the city level. And we look forward to working with him and with folks in Albany to address this. It is not sustainable to continue to incur these costs. And when people ask me, well, why can't we do more on the spending side, or why can't we cut taxes, my answer is usually, we have $7 billion more in pension costs than we did 10 years ago, and we'd love to be able to do more in other areas, but that money is being used there.
Is this going to mean major firefights with the public employee unions?
I hope not. I have to believe on some level that even the public employee unions understand that this is not sustainable. Nobody is going to want to live in a city where, an enormous portion of the budget is going for pension costs for people who, aren't providing current services. I think they, on some level, have to understand that it is not sustainable, and I hope that good, smart people who love this city and love this state can sit around a table and come up with a solution so that 20 years from now, we're not looking at a very, very, very grim moment for the city.
The mayor is proposing some bad news in this budget, 20 fire companies to cut, slash funding for libraries, also some daycare and after-school programs. And I doubt that the mayor had the Republican presidential race in his mind as he was making the city budget proposal. But I want to play these two clips that have been very much in the news because they kind of do frame a context for the daycare and the after-school cuts. I think you've met maybe Mr. Romney and Mr. Gingrich.
We have a very ample safety net, and we can talk about whether it needs to be strengthened or whether there are holes in it, but we have food stamps, we have Medicaid, we have housing vouchers, we have programs to help the poor.
Both Governor Romney and Barack Obama seem to believe that a, quote, safety net is all the poor need. I don't believe that. What the poor need is a trampoline so they can spring up and quit being poor.
Now, Deputy Mayor, whether you accept the safety net model or the trampoline model or some combination, daycare and after-school programs are considered those kinds of things that can help poor people go out and work, get jobs, get better jobs, use the trampoline, if you will, to better themselves. So why cut these of all things?
Well, I don't think anybody who lives here fails to recognize that this is a city that is extraordinarily generous with people who are less fortunate. And that is a part of our history. It's a part of our DNA. And we're always going to keep and honor the commitments to people who need our help. You know, the budget is a process. And one of the things that I have been most impressed with during my just short two-year tenure here so far is how well the executive branch that I represent works with the legislative branch over at the city council side to hammer out a budget agreement. City council will have its own set of priorities. We have some priorities. We're going to sit around a table with them, and we are going to come to an agreement that honors everybody's priorities, and in doing so, honors the priorities of all New Yorkers. We're going to have an on-time budget. We're going to have a balanced budget. We're not going to raise taxes. We're not going to decimate services. We're going to do that with a minimum of drama. And I think for that, the city council under Chris Quinn's leadership gets a lot of credit.
But how many kids are we talking about? Because this is the one that generated some Twitter response
to us. I saw
40,000 kids on child care programs, 25,000 losing after school. Are those accurate?
I don't know what the numbers are, be candid. I think folks who are concerned about this ought to speak to the continue what they're doing, tweeting about it. They ought to speak to their council people. And I think at the end of the day, when the budget is hammered out, they will be satisfied with the outcome.
The city will face something like a $3 billion budget gap next year, according to the mayor's projections. The mayor brushed it off by saying that's a whole year away, but that's going to be worse than this year.
Well, I don't know if it was worse than this year if we were talking a year and a half ago, which would be a similar time horizon.
Is there a plan? There doesn't seem to be a plan yet.
The plan is that we're going to continue to invest and budget prudently. We're going to continue to do whatever we can to grow this economy and create jobs. And I am confident that a year from now we will be talking once again about a budget that is balanced and honors our commitments.
All right. Last thing, that bright blue V-neck sweater the mayor was wearing at the budget address, was that his spring fashion statement because we haven't had a winter this year, or his way of saying go Giants?
Go big blue. I did ask him that very same question when he came back in from the budget address, and he looked at me like I was crazy and just said, go big blue. Blue suit, blue tie, blue sweater. I don't think he was wearing blue underwear, but he did have blue socks.
And if the Giants win, is the mayor prepared to have a battle with Governor Christie over where the parade will be in New York or New Jersey?
I think if we talk about such things, we will jinx the outcome. And if the Giants lose, people would rightfully come to us and say that we were the ones who caused them to be defeated.
The New York City Deputy Mayor of Government Affairs and Communications, Howard Wolfson, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And we segue from that to Caught in the Middle. Our next segment, we will take calls on what it's like to be from Connecticut during a Giants-Patriots Super Bowl. Stay with us.